To say we live in difficult times really would be an understatement. We are facing situations that is causing stress, tension, discouragement, and according to the newspapers, depression. Tremendous attacks on our mental abilities, causing problems with mental health. Now, our God is fully aware of our situation, and He knows what we're going through. And there's a wonderful psalm. We're not going to take time to look at it tonight, but I'd encourage you to read it, Psalm 139. It's a marvelous psalm that teaches that God knows us, God cares for us, and God helps us in every way. I would encourage you to read Psalm 139. It's certainly one of my favorites. And of course, the Bible says we get comfort from the Scriptures. Just read you a verse in Romans 15 and verse 4. It says, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope." Notice the connection there between comfort and patience and hope, the assurance that we have. When we read God's word, we can be assured that it's going to be a help to us. Now, God knows we need encouragement in our walk with Him, and indeed in our walk in this world today. And in His word, in God's word, we can get this encouragement that we so in deep, dire need of through studying various topics in the word of God. For example, we could study the blessings of God, or the promises of God, or the prophecies of God, and as we're going to look at just for a few moments, the benefits of God. Now, it's true many of these benefits or blessings or promises or prophecies tend to overlap. For example, I'll just read you one in the Gospel of John, chapter 14, fairly well-known one. In John 14, verse 3, it says this, the Lord Jesus is speaking, "And since I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." We see here this is a promise from our Lord and a prophecy. That's just one example that we can go to and study the blessings of God, the promises of God, the prophecies of God. And tonight we're going to look for a few minutes at the benefits of God. Just for a few moments, I'd like you to turn with me to Psalm 103. Psalm 103. This will be our focus text tonight. Psalm 103. And we're going to see what David says are the benefits that you and I can enjoy, the benefits of God. As you're turning to Psalm 103, just a reminder as to who David is. He had his victory over Goliath. He became king of Israel. And if we followed his family tree, we can see that the Lord Jesus became a part of David's family, as I mentioned, as we follow his family tree, the Lord Jesus is spoken of as the son of David. Now, when David wrote Psalm 103, the Bible doesn't indicate what was going on in his life. We don't really know. But the word psalm means song. And of course, the book of Psalms is the Hebrew hymn book. This is what some of the things they sang. And one writer looking at Psalm 103 used this analogy. He says, Psalm 103, it's David's hallelujah chorus. Hallelujah chorus. Now, you may be familiar with George Handel's marvelous work on the Messiah. And he concludes his song that he wrote, this hymn that he wrote on the Messiah, with something called the Hallelujah Chorus. And it's a culmination of praise and worship. And I think that's a very correct analogy, because many writers have said Psalm 103 just elevates us into praise and worship and thanksgiving to God. Now, time does limit us to go into a great deal of detail, but I'm going to give you two outlines. The second one I'm going to put up on the screen. The first one, because it's the one I'm going to use, the first one is one put out by J.B. Phillips, who has an excellent commentary on the book of Psalms. And he titles this psalm as the Song of a Soul Set Free. The Song of a Soul Set Free. he breaks the chapter down in this way. Verses 1 to 7 is God's man. Verses 8 to 18 is God's mercy. And verses 19 to 22 is God's might. God's man, God's mercy, and God's might. Now, I broke it down and approached this psalm in maybe just a little different way. The first part, verses 1 to 7, I have what God has done for us. Or if you want to put a subtitle there, it's praise. What God has done for us. Verses 1 to 7 is praise. Verses 8 to 18 is the attributes of God, or who God is. And that's subtitle is worship. And finally, verses 19 to 22 is our response to God. It's our thanksgiving to God. So I'm breaking down this chapter into praise, worship, and thanksgiving to God. Now, we're just going to look at section 1 here for the sake of time. These are the benefits on what God has done for every believer in the Lord Jesus. And as we read this psalm, and we're just going to read the first 7 verses, I'd ask you to pay attention to the verbs. These are action words in verses 1 to 7. And David really writes this to encourage us to enjoy the benefits we have in our intimate relationship with God. Now, these aren't the type of benefits that you and I would get if we worked for a company or a certain board. We signed a contract to work, and they might say, well, I'm going to give you the benefit of sick leave, or I'm going to give you the benefit of a dental plan. Those are extras. What David is talking about here is an intricate part of our intimate relationship with the Lord, with God. And so these are the benefits that we can enjoy if we know Christ as our Savior. Follow along as I read verses 1 to 7 and see if you can spot the benefits that David highlights. Psalm 103, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who sustaineth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord execute righteousness and judgment for all they are oppressed. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. Did you spot those action words, those verbs? I'll just give you the list here. He forgives us. He heals us. He redeems us. He crowns us or surrounds us with his benefits. He satisfies us. And the other two that we won't get time, I don't think, to talk about, but he executes righteousness for us, and I put that down as he protects us. And if we had time, we would look at the role of angels as they protect the children of God. And finally, he teaches us, and we could look at a reference to the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, who guides us into all truth. Now, my intention is really, and I'm aware of time, and it's not the easiest thing to follow on Zoom, just to concentrate on those first 5 benefits. If you look at verse 3 again, he says, who forgives us of all our iniquities. Now, that word iniquities doesn't mean mistakes. The actual word means gross wickedness. In fact, in the Hebrew, it speaks of acts of crooked or twisted things. Well, that's the height of sin. Many words are used for words like iniquities, fallen short, sin, and other words like this. But we know that God will forgive us of all our sins. And that's a wonderful benefit that we have in God. There was a gentleman I worked with a few years ago, and we began talking about the gospel. And after I laid out the marvelous love of the Lord Jesus as demonstrated by giving of his life on the cross, he said to me, Bob, I've committed too many sins for God ever to forgive me. And I let him talk a little bit longer, and later I said to him, you know, Tim, his name was Tim, there's a verse in the Bible that says, if we confess our sins, that word confess simply means agreeing with God that you're a sinner. If we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I said to him, you notice, Tim, it didn't say cleanse us from some of our unrighteousness. Some of our sins, he cleanses us from all our sins. And he promised he would think about the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ and how he could have his sins forgiven by placing his faith and trust in the Lord. I came across to him, oh, what a Savior that he died for me. I'd just like to share verse 2 of that with you. It says this, the hymn writer writes, all my iniquities on him were laid. All my indebtedness by him was paid. All who believe on him, the Lord hath said, hath everlasting life. What a benefit. All our sin is forgiven. All our sin is forgotten. Isn't that a tremendous benefit, a tremendous knowledge that we have? The Bible says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. You know, in both the Old and the New Testament, the idea behind the word forgiveness is this, is to take away and put somewhere else. To take away and put somewhere else. And the scripture tells us that our sins were taken away and put on the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The Lord went to a cross, and there on that cross, he gave his life. He shed his blood, and he died. He paid the price that you and I could not pay, because he was sinless. He died for our sins, and then he rose the third day. And so our sins are taken away and placed upon the Lord, but also our sins are taken away and put them, as one writer has said, in the sea of God's forgetfulness. God will never hold us accountable for those sins because he sees us as righteousness, not because we are righteous, but because his Son is righteous and he paid the price for us. In fact, there's a verse in Psalm 103 and in verse 12. It says, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. They are separated. We are forgiven through the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Have you been forgiven? Have you placed your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, next you'll look in verse 3. It says, he heals all thy diseases. Now, this isn't a reference to healing every disease that we have. You know, sometimes people get diseases and they're not healed. The context here is that the Lord is healing of the soul's diseases. The soul's diseases. Now, we'll explain what soul's diseases are in a moment here, but here's how we can be healed from these. If you look at Psalm 107, then verse number 20, it tells us, and I will just read this, Psalm 107 and verse 20. It says, God sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. And so God's word is used to heal us from our soul's diseases. Our soul's diseases. As we take a look back at Psalm 103. He healeth all thy, and if you'd like to write in your Bible and you put soul's diseases there, you'll have a better understanding. Well, what diseases of the soul do we have? You know, we are created spirit, soul, and body. Our spirit is our consciousness of God. Our soul is our emotions that affects our will and our behavior. And of course, our body is our physical body. Well, what are some of those soul's diseases? Some of those emotions we battle with through our Christian walk. Well, I just made a list of some. Maybe you know others. There's the disease of guilt. We feel a various sense of guilt. Satan might say to you, well, he didn't really forgive you of your sins. Don't let Satan do that to you. Another one is fear. Another soul's disease is doubt. Am I really saved? A number of years ago, I was counseling at a youth camp. And at the end of the night, we gave the little devotion and I gave the gospel. And there was a 10 or 11-year-old boy, I can't remember, he asked if he could come in and place his faith in the Lord Jesus. Myself and another counselor took him in to a little room. We went through John 3:16, explained the verse to him, and he said, I want to trust Christ as Savior. And he, a beautiful little prayer, confessed he was a sinner and asked Jesus to be a Savior and Lord. Afterwards, his name was Jim. I said, Jim, how do you know you're really saved? How do you know I wasn't just tricking you? How do you know I was just making this up? And you could see his face, a little doubt there, and suddenly a big smile broke from his face. And all of a sudden, he grabbed my Bible and he says, because it says in God's word, I'm saved. And I knew he had it. Our faith is based on the word of God. So when doubts come, we can go to the word of God to help us. Other souls, diseases, anger. The Bible says we can be angry but sin not. But some have a real trouble with anger in their life. There's the disease of lust, the disease of hate and jealousy, spite and bitterness and greed. On all of these, we can get answers from the word of God. There's another soul's disease I think it's worth mentioning, because many writers in the newspaper today say, as I mentioned at the beginning, our mental challenges are being faced with this COVID-19, and it's leading to depression. What are the causes of depression? Well, I'm not a doctor, and I'm not going into an extensive talk on it, but the depression is severe dejection, What are the causes? Well, number one can be our circumstances. And if you look in the Word of God, 2 Corinthians 1 and 8, it says this, Paul despaired even of life. He was troubled in his journey through Asia. He'd been stoned, and he'd been shipwrecked, and he'd been threatened with jail, and he was just going through these terrible things. And the idea here, he was burdened so much beyond his ability to deal with it. We might say that he was depressed. There's another cause, Satan, that tends to attack us. The Bible says Satan is like a roaring lion. And sometimes our depression is caused by Satan. And I look at the character in the Old Testament of Job. We might say that he became a little depressed at times. But these two causes can be settled through studying and applying the Word of God to our life. But there's a third cause I'd like to mention. It's not found in the Word of God, but it is a real thing. It's a medical reason for depression. And it's called chemical imbalances in our brain. And I mention this because it's very prevalent today. I'm familiar with a number of people, well, I would say four or five, who are dealing with chemical imbalances in the brain. The cause we don't know, but it does affect a person's behavior. And one of the ones that is well known today is something called being bipolar. Sometimes we are high and excited, and sometimes we're really down in the dumps. Sometimes it can lead to violence. The Bible doesn't say this, but doctors will give you medication to help balance that. And I know I've heard of one individual, a friend of mine, who had a chemical imbalance, and some of his so-called Christian friends saying, you don't need that medication, just pray and God will take it away. And God may take it away, but I believe that there are certain chemical imbalances that we may encounter, and the medicine that the doctor prescribed and monitored will help us. So if you're going through a time of depression and it's not through circumstances or attacks from Satan, go to your doctor and ask the doctor, can you test me? Give me a blood test for a chemical imbalance. But depression is, and some writers have said, and some doctors have said, all of these souls' diseases can lead to death if we don't deal with them. Or certainly they will aggravate us. And that's important to know the Word of God. That's why it's important to know the Word of God. So when these souls' diseases help us, as we read in the Psalm 107, we can take his word, and his word will help us through these difficult times. The third benefit is, in verse 4, it says, he redeems us. He redeems us. He redeems your life from going to waste. That's the idea of redemption here. Now, we know that the Lord has redeemed us, Peter says, not with silver and gold, but with the precious blood of the Lord Jesus on the cross. But the idea here is that God doesn't want us to waste our life. And when we trust Christ as Savior, the Bible says in John chapter 10, he gives us an abundant life. That is, he gives us a life that is full of joy and strength for our spirit and our soul and indeed our body. And this is a wonderful, wonderful benefit. God has a plan for your life. One of my favorite examples, of course, is Ephesians 2 and 10. It says this, we are created in Christ Jesus. We are a new creation. We're saved. We're born again. You know what the rest of the verse says? Unto good works, which God hath before ordained or planned. And so God has planned a life for you that is filled with good works that will honor, bring honor and glory to the Lord. So, dear friend, don't waste your life living in the world. God has a plan for your life. You may be in a position now that sometimes we used to say you're backslidden, away from God. I know that happened to me in my second year of my faith in the Lord Jesus. I drifted away, but thankfully God stuck to me. And just, he's closer than a brother. And he spoke to me through his word and drew me back unto himself. God wants to use you for you, for his will and for his glory and for his purposes. And so if you just listen to Romans chapter 12 and 1, if we could make this our goal and seeing that God has a purpose for us in our life, listen to what Paul says in the first two verses of Romans 12. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. What a thing to focus on in our life. Romans 12, 1 and 2. Benefits of God. He forgives us. He heals us of our soul's diseases. He redeems us. He gives us a life for us to live, an abundant life. The fourth one, it says he crowns us or surrounds us with his loving kindness and his tender mercies. Now, it doesn't say that he covers us just with kindness and mercies. It says loving kindness and tender mercies. Now, if I gave you the Hebrew meaning of the word, you might not understand it. And many commentators say it's difficult to get an English word that can really capture the meaning. But many writers feel the idea of loving kindness really is God's unfailing love. And that is seen in God's compassion for you and I. God's very compassionate God. And the idea of mercy is a great mercy. It's above the normal. And many writers believe this speaks of God's patience with us. You know, sometimes when we feel we fail God, God is a compassionate God. God is a patient God with us. And he surrounds us with his compassion and patience and his goodness. What a benefit this is. Marvelous thing we can enjoy. God's tender mercies and his loving kindness. Finally, it says he satisfies us. If you look in verse 5, who satisfies thy mouth. We're going to talk about that word mouth just for a second. There's a couple of meanings of this verse. Sometimes it's hard to understand. David pictures metaphors and he uses them in different ways. That word mouth can be translated in some translations as old age. And what the idea thought here is that he satisfies us in our old age. As we get on in our life, God will provide us with good things, opportunities to serve him as we get older and older, as we age. And he will give us the strength of eagles to fulfill those responsibilities or ministries that he's called us to. And so it's important never to give up. We don't want to say, well, I've reached a certain age, that's it. I'm going to finish my service for the Lord. It's important to start well, but it's important to finish well. I may be talking to a senior here. Don't give up your service. Your areas of ministries might change. In my younger days, I was involved in Sunday school and youth work, and I just don't have the ability, and my body can't respond to that. So the Lord has directed me in other areas to serve him. but keep on going. There's a man in our area, Niagara region, named Arnett McEntee. Perhaps you heard of him. He was an elder in Scott Lee for a number of years. He started the radio program, Family Bible Hour, and he continues to preach. He's into his 90s, but he keeps going on. He is a great encourager. I was speaking down at Scott Lee recently after I finished and was walking out. There's my friend, Mr. McEntee, shaking my hand, thanking me for the word of God. A great encourager in his mid-90s, but he keeps on going. And the Lord here, as a benefit, says, I will give you that strength to continue on. But someone else believes it has to speak about the youth, the young people. They have strength and vigor. And these are good things, that he or she may thrive and flourish like an eagle in their service for the Lord. God will give us that strength. And another writer says, regardless of our age, the believer's age, the believer can find strength and vitality as we go about doing the Lord's will that he's called us to. It's a favorite verse of mine that I learned, memorized in my first year of knowing the Lord Jesus Christ, Philippians 4 and 13. It says this, I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. Now, of course, that verse applies, of course, to our service for the Lord, but I use that as a help to me in my school. During my high school years, I wasn't interested in studies, more interested in sports. I quit high school and went and took a job, and then after I got saved, the Lord seemed to burden my heart to go back to school, and I thought, well, I'm not going to do very well. I didn't do very well the first time. But I took this verse, I know it's not meant for that, but I used it as an application and asked the Lord to help me with my schooling. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now that didn't mean I didn't need to work, didn't need to do my assignments, didn't need to do study. I had to do all that. But I had believed that the Lord had directed me to go back and finish my education. And I claimed this verse, and it was a tremendous help. Gave me the strength and vitality to go through this. I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. Well, I'll leave you to enjoy the rest of God's benefits. I think it's important to know what should be our response to all these benefits. Well, in verse 20 to 22, it says, bless the Lord. And at the beginning of this psalm, it says, bless the Lord. I think we should have and enjoying these benefits in our intimate fellowship and relationship with God. We should be ready to thank God for all that he has done for us and continues to do for us. And so we think of these benefits. He forgives us. He heals us. He redeems us. He surrounds us with his compassion and patience. And indeed, he satisfies us. All of these marvelous benefits that we have when we place our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And as the hymn writer has said, how good is the God we adore. Let's just close with a word of prayer. Our Father and our God, we thank you that we've taken these few quiet moments to look at the benefits of God as David outlined them. Father, we acknowledge we go through difficult times, but you've provided many things for us that we can help us endure these difficult times. Father, we're so thankful that we have a God, a living God, a living hope that we can place and have full assurance that you are in control of all things. Father, we ask you to bless each one of us. Give us encouragement and comfort and help. And Father, above all, we are so thankful and we praise and worship your lovely Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.